Will you turn with me, please, to the chapter that we read together, Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. And I want to draw your attention to the incident that happens right at the end of this chapter, starting at verse 40 to the end. It is the healing of the leper. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And so on. Now, you might find that this is an interesting conclusion to this chapter that tells us about the very early works of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are introduced to Jesus coming for baptism at John's baptism, of his calling the first disciples, and then of these this exorcism, the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, and then we have this event of the curing of this man with leprosy. Now you might ask yourself, well, what relevance does that have for me? What possible connection can Jesus dealing with a leprous man have with me? After all, I'm not a leper. After all, I live centuries after these events took place. Well, dear friends, what we have in this incident is something that is applicable to men and women today. We live in a society that very few would deny is sick with sin. It is a sin-sick society. We need some healing. We need some cleansing. We need help. And it is to the Scriptures that we turn to find how that help is to be found, where it is to be found. But before I move on to consider that, I want to show you that whether or not you're a 21st century person or living in the first century when Jesus worked this miracle, this word is applicable to you. And I want to do it by showing you, firstly, what a leper was and what it meant to be a leper in the days of Jesus. Well, just try and put yourself into that mindset of this man who came to Jesus. He is described as a leper. I'm not going to go into the technicalities of whether the leprosy he had was the same as the leprosy that is in the world today. Suffice it to say that he was a man who was cut off from society. He was a sick man. He was a man that was despised by his contemporaries because he had leprosy. Notice what the Bible tells us this man had to do. Whenever he was coming along the road and he saw a crowd of people, listen to what he had to do. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, torn, and his head bare. And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. You imagine if you had to behave like that whenever you came near a crowd of people today, that you had something that was considered so foul that nobody wanted anything to do with you, and you had the responsibility of making sure that they weren't polluted by you. And so you would have to cry out, unclean, unclean. You're drawing attention to yourself when you don't want to draw attention to yourself. This was what this man had to do day after day after day. He was a leper. In the days of Jesus, to be a leper amongst the Jews meant that you were considered impure and defiled. You could not go and join with the people in worship. If you were a leper in the days of Jesus, you couldn't congregate like this. You couldn't sit in the synagogue. You couldn't go to the temple. You were considered unfit to draw near. You were defiled. And because you were defiled, you were out of the loop. You were out of society. Your friends wanted, or your erstwhile friends wanted nothing to do with you. Even your family didn't want to come too close to you. That's what it meant. It was to live a life of isolation and separation from your friends and family, from the rest of society. But perhaps the worst possible thing was this. It was to live a life of separation from God. Inasmuch as you could not draw near to God and worship Him with the people of God, you were barred from coming near. And when you look at the Old Testament scriptures, it becomes clear that the Jews considered leprosy as an evidence of God's curse, an evidence of God's displeasure upon you. So it is that if you think of what happened to Miriam, you remember in the days of the wilderness wanderings, Miriam was made leprous, and she had to be put out of the camp until she was cured. You think of Gehazi, Elisha's servant, who conned Naaman into giving all of those goods and taking away from the glory of God. And the leprosy that had departed from Naaman fell upon Gedaliah, and he went out ashamed. And he went out defiled and polluted. You think of King Uzziah. Here is a great king. He had a reign that lasted something like 50 years, I think. But he was a leper. He had to rule from a distance, if he ruled at all. And so here was someone who, as far as human beings were concerned, had everything, and yet he had nothing, because he was a leper. That is what leprosy was considered. Now, we might think to ourselves, and rightly so, these were bad men, some of them. But wait a minute, because that's not the whole story. You see, the Bible tells us that each one of us here are lepers by nature. Each one of us here are lepers by nature. In other words, as we are without Jesus Christ, we are cut off from God. We deserve His curse. We deserve to be ostracized and put away. You say, that's a big claim to make. No, listen to what the Bible says. You remember in Psalm 51, there was David, and he had fallen into two terrible sins. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he had murdered Uriah the Hittite. And in this psalm, we get an insight into the heart of this man. He's a repentant man. He's a man who is grieving over his sin. And what does he describe himself as? He describes himself as a leper. Now, he doesn't use the word leper, but he uses words from the ritual cleansing of leprosy. Wash me and I shall be clean. Sprinkle me with hyssop. He wants to be made like a new creature, because he sees that sin is like leprosy. He sees himself as a spiritual leper. So we may not have the rashes on our body or the stumps for hands that men and women have today who have leprosy, but we are all by nature spiritual lepers. And unless we are cleansed by Jesus Christ, that is how we stand before God. Because sin renders us as unclean before God spiritually as leprosy rendered the leper unclean before God ceremonially. And the result was the result of being cut off from God. And remember that verse I quoted this morning from Isaiah. Your sins have separated you from your God. So that this idea of leprosy is used in the Bible as a description of the inward corruption of sin. And with this in mind, that we are all by nature spiritual lepers, I want to look at this man. And perhaps when you consider yourself a leper by nature, you'll have a bit more sympathy for this poor man here. He had probably heard what Jesus was doing. We are told that the fame of Jesus went out. As someone said recently, the news went viral. Everybody knew that Jesus was doing things. Everybody knew that he could cure people. Everybody knew that he had power over the demons. They knew this. And so we shouldn't be surprised that this man seeks him out and came to Jesus and asked to be cleansed from all his sins. Well, I want us to look firstly at what we can learn from the man himself. Because it is important that we appreciate what he understood his own condition to be. The first thing that we can say about this man was this. He had a fatal disease and he knew it. He had a fatal disease and he knew it. And the worse he got, the more he knew it. We are told in the Old Testament how if someone contracted leprosy, it might just appear as a little spot on his arm or on his body somewhere. And he would go to the priest and the priest would examine him. And the priest would put him into isolation and he would check him after 7 days. And you could imagine that man looking at this spot and thinking, is it growing? Is it getting bigger? And the bigger it got, the more anxious he would have become. That is what this man appreciated. He was fatally diseased, and it was getting worse. But you know, although we are lepers spiritually, we don't take that view of our leprosy. It's almost as though we block it out. It's almost as though the worse it gets, the less we think about it. If you're not a Christian today, I ask you this, have you faced up to the fact that you are a spiritual leper before God? Do you appreciate that every day that goes by, you are actually adding to the sin of your spiritual leprosy? It's as though you are allowing that spot to spread and become greater and bigger. And so it is that here is the tragedy. So many people with so much sin, and yet they are burying it, they're hiding it, they're pretending there's nothing wrong. Have you ever have a loved one or known of someone who was terminally ill and you haven't, and they haven't been told that they are seriously ill? It's very distressing. It's very distressing when you know that that person ought to know their condition and nothing has been done to that end. Well, that is how it is, sadly, so often with men and women who are spiritual lepers. And the great need that we have, and dear friend, if you're not a Christian tonight, the great need you have is to recognize that you have a terminal disease and it will only get worse unless it is dealt with. And so, follow this man's example. Learn from this man. There is Christ and he is able to save. And so it is that this man had a terrible disease, a fatal disease, and he knew it. But he also knew that he needed a cure. He knew he needed a cure. And so, what does he do? Well, the fact is that until Jesus came on the scene, there was nothing he could do. There was no remedy for what he had. Here was a man who, as far as he was concerned, up until the time he heard about Jesus, was consigned to this miserable existence of separation and increasing isolation. Until he heard about Jesus. Could you imagine what that was like? Imagine if you were told by the doctor tomorrow that you had a fatal disease. And I'm very sorry, but there simply is no cure for your disease. And then you happen to be maybe surfing the net, watching something on YouTube, perhaps getting your Twitters or your tweets, is it? And you hear about a cure for this thing. Would you just lay it to one side? Oh, that's very interesting. No, I'll tell you this. You would search high and low. You would investigate. You would want to know if this was true. You would do everything in your power to try and get your hands on this cure in order that you might be saved. Well, that's what this man is doing. He hears that there is someone who is extraordinary. And so he searches for him. He seeks him out. He comes to him. And when he comes, he cuts right to the chase. Notice what we're told. We are told the leper came to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him and saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou can make me clean." There's no introduction. There's no niceties. There's no beating about the bush. There's no trying to explain away his leprosy. He just comes, tells it as it is, looks for help from the Saviour. That is how you ought to be behaving if you are out of Christ tonight. If you're not a Christian tonight, that's how you should be behaving. Don't you take sin seriously? Don't you believe in a true, holy God who sends sinners who are impenitent and despise his good news in Christ to a lost eternity? Don't you believe that? Well, if you do, why are you not taking it seriously? Why are you still out of Jesus Christ? Why have you not made it your business to beseech the Lord, to pray to the Lord, to beg the Lord to have mercy on your dying soul? This leper has a lot to teach us, you know. So often those who are not Christians, they just go along, and so long as things are fine, they are happy. So long as they're earning their crust, they're content. So long as nothing bad is befalling them, they're not altogether upset. But dear friends, that is the mark of indifference. And there is no place for indifference when you have a terminal disease, when there is a cure to be had. That's the point. No place for indifference when you have a terminal disease and there is a remedy at hand. But that's the truth that we can learn from this man. When he came to Jesus, how does he come? Does he suggest, well, you know, I've done a lot of good things in my life. If there's a queue waiting for this cure, well, I must be near the front of this queue because I've done good works and I've been nice to my neighbour and I haven't told lies. No, he doesn't come like that. He comes like a beggar. He comes with nothing except his disease. He comes with nothing except his plea for being cured. And that, dear friends, is how you have to come to God. That is how you should approach Jesus Christ. You are not in the business of negotiating terms with the Saviour, because you have nothing to negotiate with. You might say, oh, but I'm righteous. What does God say? All your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in my sight. Oh, but I've kept the law. Have you never told a lie? Have you never had a wrong thought? You haven't kept the law by a long shot. You need righteousness to stand before God. And the only place you're going to find that is in Jesus Christ. And so it is, dear friends, you have the option of just pussyfooting around and not taking this matter seriously. Or you can take seriously the fact that you are a spiritual being that is heading for a lost eternity. And yet, there is a way out. There is a way out. It is insanity not to take it. This man came to Jesus not to negotiate, not to bargain. He came in faith. He believed what he had heard about Jesus. Jesus can do great things. And on the basis of what he had heard, he came and he threw himself on the mercy of Jesus. He's begging him. And he's saying, in effect, if you want to, you can make me clean. You remember what we saw this morning, those of you who were here. God is willing to forgive sin. God is willing. The problems, dear friends, if you are out of Christ, don't lie with God. They don't lie in the fact that God is unwilling to pardon you as a sinner. It lies in the fact that you will not come to Him, that you might have life. Oh, what a tragedy. What a terrible tragedy, dear friends. Because Christ calls sinners to Himself. This man came in faith, threw himself upon the mercy of Jesus Christ, and he was cured. And he went away rejoicing. He rejoiced so much, as we'll see, that he couldn't keep it in. He couldn't not tell everybody, even although that meant disobeying the Lord. So there's what we can learn from the man. And the question we should be asking is, are we like this man? If you're not a Christian tonight, have you taken your condition seriously? Or have you just settled down and learned to live with it? Well, project a few years into the future and ask yourself, will you be settled and content in a never-dying hell? Will you be content when you have to face the wrath of God for your sin? No. Now's the time to take the matter seriously. And now's the time to get right with God through Jesus Christ. Not putting it off. Not settling in indifference. But taking seriously. Not only that you are a sinner needing saved, but there is a Saviour who can save and is willing to save. But there are certain things we also learn from Jesus in this encounter. One of the things that is most amazing, and we don't appreciate it because we don't have this problem of leprosy in our midst, but one of the things that was most incredible about this encounter was that Jesus was approachable. You could imagine at this point, Jesus would have been surrounded by his followers. There would have been his disciples, and there would have been the crowds that were following. I'll tell you something. I wasn't there, but I can guarantee you that when this man came forward, everybody drew back. Nobody wanted to be in this man's presence. And as he comes to Jesus, you could imagine men cowering at the very thought of this unclean beast coming into their presence. But Jesus stands still. He comes to Jesus, and we are told that he is willing to accept him into his presence. He doesn't turn the unclean and the unworthy away. Do you see the application of that to spiritual leprosy? He doesn't say you've got to make yourself attractive to him before you can come. He doesn't tell you that you've got to sort out your life so that you lay aside these sins and you start doing these good things. He tells you now, as you are, in all your filth, in all your sin, to come. And the great thing is that when you come, he is willing to receive you. He doesn't distance himself from sinners. Indeed, we are told in the book of Hebrews, it behoved him to become in all points like unto his brethren. He came as near to the sinner as it was conceivably possible to come and yet stay without sin. He takes bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. How much closer can he come? He draws near to his people in their lostness, in their hopelessness, in their separation from God. He does the running. He calls the sinner. He deals with the sin. You may think that Jesus is unapproachable. If you think that, then you're not thinking biblically. If you think that Jesus is not to be drawn near to, then you are not thinking biblically. This man demonstrates, illustrates, that Jesus is approachable. So, I don't know what kind of sins you have committed. If you're not a Christian tonight, I don't know. But I'll tell you something Jesus knows. He knows you intimately. And even with all that he knows about you, he will still welcome you if you come to him. Isn't that wonderful? He's approachable. Sinners are to come to Jesus as they are. But another wonderful thing is this. He's compassionate. He's compassionate. We are told Jesus moved with compassion. He has this, if you will, this gut feeling of compassion towards this man. Moved with compassion. You know, the tragedy is, and I think that probably every Christian here is guilty of this to some degree. When we see someone sunk in sin, we tend to stand back. It's almost like an inbuilt reaction. But we shouldn't, of all people, we shouldn't be standing back. We are no better than they. We were worse than they were. Jesus does not lack compassion. He knows what it is to be tempted, although he never fell. He knows what it is to experience the sorrows and the trials of this life, and yet he remained holy. And he calls to you as a sinner to draw near to him as your high priest, as the one who is able to deal with you, as the one, as the book of Hebrews says, is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He knows your weakness. He knows, if you think of Psalm 103, he knows that you're but grass that grows up and withers in a day. He knows these things. He knows that you don't have the strength to deal with their guilt and sin on your own. He knows that you don't have the willpower to stick it out on your own. He knows that for all the reformations that you might make in your life, you're going to fall again and again and again. He knows these things, and yet he is compassionate still. And he is welcoming still. What a Saviour. What a Saviour. So he's approachable and compassionate, but there's something else. He is willing to hear and to heal. There's a willingness in the Saviour. You know, to listen to some people, you might think that the gospel's a great thing. It's just a pity that Jesus doesn't want sinners to come to him. Well, wherever that idea comes from, it doesn't come from the Bible. Jesus himself could stand and address the crowd and say, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Willing to hear. Willing to heal. And so it is with this man. There's no unwillingness on the part of Jesus. If you're not coming to Jesus, please don't put the blame at his door. It doesn't lie there. It lies at your door. If you are not coming to Jesus, it is not because he is unwilling to receive you. It is because you are unwilling to come. But the end of this story with this man is even more wonderful still. Because we are told that Jesus takes away the disease. Notice what we're told. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, "I will, be thou clean." Could you imagine, if you were this man, how those words rang in your ear? Could you imagine, as you beheld that body that was covered in leprous sores, instantaneously healed and white as snow? Could you imagine that? Ah, dear friends, that is how it was. It wasn't that Jesus sent him away for 6 months' convalescence in a nursing home. It was like that. He was healed. That, dear friends, is how Jesus can deal with your sin. So often we think that we've got so much to do to be fit for coming to Jesus. But that's not what the Bible tells us to do. Come as a sinner. And cast yourself upon him, because he can deal with your sin instantaneously and totally. So that those who are in Christ Jesus are no longer condemned before God. Those who are in Christ Jesus have the guilt of their sin removed. And notice what I said, the guilt of their sin removed. We were speaking this morning about the fact that Christians still sin. I'm not saying Christians are sinless, but the guilt of the sin is removed instantly when a man or a woman is united to Jesus Christ. That's what the cure that is offered in the gospel is, and that's what you need if you're out of Christ. He makes clean by removing the uncleanness. Have you ever had a sudden visitor at the door? An unexpected visitor. And this would be true especially if you've got children in the home. And you look at the living room that you're going to bring them into, and it's like a bomb site. Toys everywhere, newspapers lying around, dishes sitting on the table. And within minutes, between the time that you know there's someone coming in and they arrive, you've cleared it all away. But if they were to look carefully, they might find that everything's been stuffed in a cupboard. And the dishes have just been piled on the draining board. And the newspapers have all been crumpled up and stuffed in the wastebasket. There is a cleaning that doesn't really deal with matters. There is a superficial cleansing. But that is not what Jesus gives to the sinner. He deals with the sin completely and finally, so that the guilt of the sin is forever removed. That is what Jesus offers in the gospel. Now, we don't have time to go into how he deals with it. He takes it to himself and he dies in the room instead of his people. That is how he deals with it. If you want a study of that, go to Isaiah 53 and read through, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." There is the Saviour bearing his sin, but we're focusing on the cure. And it's instantaneous. Well, again, I ask you, dear friends, are you reluctant to come to Jesus? Well, why are you reluctant to come? Why have you not come and cast yourself upon him for salvation? You can't blame his unapproachableness, because he is more than approachable. You can't complain that he's unsympathetic to you, because he's not. His sympathetic nature took him down into this world to live amongst us and die for sinners. You can't say that he's unwilling to listen to you, because there is no unwillingness in Christ to save sinners. And you can't say he's not able. You might think that it's a hard job for Jesus to deal with your sins. Is it any harder than curing this man instantaneously of leprosy? Here we have the gospel in a nutshell in this man's dealings with Jesus, or Jesus' dealings with this man. And I would challenge you, if you're not a Christian tonight, to face up to the reality of your state before God. You are a spiritual leper. You're cut off from God, and that separation from God that you are experiencing now is but a shadow of what will come in eternity if you are not reconciled to him. Face up and take seriously the terrible plight you're in, and make it your business to give God no rest until he in his mercy pours out salvation upon you. And remember that you are not coming to an unloving, unmerciful, uncompassionate Saviour. You're coming to Jesus Christ, revealed in his dealings with this man as the very best of saviors. And so I would urge you, I would plead with you, dear friends, don't delay in fleeing to Jesus. Your time is short. You don't know how long you have in this world. Make it your business to flee to the Saviour.